Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to Masters Week. So happy to be here for this first episode of the week. We will have shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all about the Masters, only about the Masters. It's the only thing in town. It's the only thing that matters this week. Biggest betting week of the year. I'm Ryan Balogie. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about, well, they're not opening lines, but they are opening of the week lines for the Masters, where they've evolved to this point. We've got our 89-player field. Akshay Batia is the final guy in. Wins the Valero Texas Open, and he's part of the action here this week at Augusta National. That to kind of cover my general theory of this tournament, and it's, I think, one that a lot of people believe. I don't think this is out there at all. There are like 15 guys who can win the Masters. Every year, there's like 15 guys. At least for the last dozen years, there's like 15 guys. And what that boils down to, and what it will almost certainly boil down to this week, is tee to green play over the course of this calendar year. How have you done strokes gained, tee to green, on whatever tour you play or whatever tours you play this season? If you are above 1.2-ish strokes gained, tee to green per round, you got a chance. If you don't, you don't win. And it's really that simple. That's what this golf course rewards. It is a second shot golf course. Don't get yourself into trouble off the tee. There are plenty of places over the years that used to be way more wide open, but there are places you don't want to be even if you hit the fairway. So you've got to be exact. You've got to be a great ball striker. You've got to put the ball in position to be able to attack on certain spots. There are certain places you can't attack, and you have to have the discipline, the game plan, the capability to get yourself away. And it's a mental test as much as a physical one, right? You've got to be able to execute the shots. You've got to stay away from being above the hole. Being above the hole is bad, very bad at Augusta National in general. Doesn't matter what the conditions are, but it is a place where you can't three putt. If you three putt more than once, you don't win the tournament, statistically speaking. If you don't play the par fives well, typically you don't win, statistically speaking. If you don't know when to just make a bogey and get out of there, you lose the tournament. If you make a double bogey, you've basically lost the tournament. That, generally speaking, how it works. If you make multiple double bogeys, you've definitely lost the tournament. But it's hard to come back from anything worse than a single double. And if you make a triple, quad, just forget it. You can go home. So the game plan is be aggressive when you can be conservative when the situation calls for it, whether that's your location, whether that's the pin location, whatever. You have to attack the par fives. The second hole is 10 yards longer. Tee box back to the left a little bit requires a little bit better of a tee shot. The bunker front right is a little bit deeper. The green's a little bit expanded, so it's not as easy to get up and just throw it in the bunker and get up and down. They've made the course a little bit harder off of six as well. That back right pin location, back behind that used to be kind of flat and a pretty straightforward pitch or chip or putt. Now there's a little bit of a collection area. That's going to be different. So that pin location gets harder, but the two putt from the lower tier of the green is not easy. So they're still going to go for it. That'll make it tougher. The weather forecast will be something we have to concern ourselves with to a degree, I think. But I don't think as much worrying about waves, just kind of the flow of the tournament. Thursday is supposed to be pretty bad, at least right now in the weather forecast. It's supposed to be maybe a couple inches of rain, a lot of bad weather. Most of the day doesn't look great. That, of course, can change. Of course, can bump up. That could turn out to be Wednesday, and then all of a sudden we don't have a par three contest. Hey, whatever. But then everything gets off otherwise. The forecast behind Thursday right now looks great. Friday, Saturday, Sunday looks lovely. So there may be a little bit of a scramble here on Thursday and Friday to figure out how to get as much golf in as they can, try to make a cut before Saturday. That may not happen, and then figure out how to get the weekend done. So that'll be interesting to see how the players handle that. I think a lot of players will know that coming in, but it becomes a little bit more of a sprint than a slog. That can be good for some players because just play the golf. Like, you just got to keep playing. You just got to keep going. I think that can work really well. Worked out really well last year for John Rahm because he just had to keep playing and he was playing great. So he just kept playing. It worked out for Phil. I mean, he just had to keep playing and he had no reason to stop. He had no chance and then had an incredible final round, his best ever final round of the Masters. It can be helpful. It can also hurt a leader who, if you get out in front, you have the weight of the world on your shoulders for as many as 54 holes, right? And once your name gets to the top of the board and the round ends, if you're thinking about going wire to wire, forget. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It really does not happen. It's almost impossible to go wire to wire at the Masters. 36-hole lead, not a good opportunity to win either. If you're going to live bet this thing, your best opportunity is Saturday afternoon, mid-afternoon. Go find the five guys who are close to the top of the leaderboard and just bet them all. You're not going to get the best odds on them, but you're going to get your best opportunity. And if it's a blowout, you at the top of the board, you're going to get horrible odds for that player, and you're going to get good odds for the others. But that's really your best chance, because typically speaking, if you get in the final group on Sunday, you have the best chance to win. That final two groups especially. So those four players, and they may do six depending on the weather, but it's probably four. That's where it's coming from. So if you're doing the live betting thing, and I would strongly encourage you to do that this week, to at least kind of hedge some positions you might have pre-tournament, think about that. Think about Saturday afternoon, fire up the apps, get your positions in, and then just kind of hope one of them comes home. They're not going to be like plus 150 situations yet. They're going to buy, the 10th or 11th hole on Saturday, and I realize there's trouble at 12 and 13 and 15 that comes up at 17. But I think you got to kind of lock into your four players at that point and hope you get home if your pre-tournament stuff doesn't work. If you've got a great pre-tournament ticket and that's holding up on Saturday afternoon, then you can hedge your position a little bit based on where the other players might be that you might want to bet on. And that can still be a very profitable opportunity as well. So we'll talk about that probably a little bit more later in the week. But I just kind of want to lay out my thesis, high points, things that you should know, you should be thinking about before the tournament, before you place money. If you've already placed money, that's fine. But if you haven't done it yet, those are the things, those are the people, that's what you have to consider the most about this week. Then, hey, it all comes down to me for numbers, course history, players that you like. And we've already run the model for the tournament. I hate calling it the model. It's a statistical rubric. Like, this is all based on, if you've never listened to this show, our model is based on strokes gained, a metric called quality strokes gained, which weights your strokes gained against your competition. It looks at the 1 and 2 year windows immediately off rolling 1 and 2 year windows. You look at the last 10 tournaments, which basically covers this year at this point, and some history of the Masters from the last 3 years. And all that, I think you would not be surprised who the number 1 through 10 players are. I don't think you'd be surprised at all. That is available to our members. We'll talk about that tomorrow. That is available now to our members at golfnewsnet.com. You can sign up for $40 a year, be a member. You can sign up for $10 for the week if you wish. I don't know why you would do that. If I were gaming the system, like my own system, I would sign up tomorrow afternoon for the year. You would get the Masters model for this year, and you would get the Masters model for next year by the time it renews. So that would be how I would play it. You basically get five majors for the price of four if you do it correctly. So take a look at that if you have a chance and if you're interested in it. In the meantime, I'm going to go over where the market is right now, and then we'll get into the modeling and all that stuff tomorrow. And then we'll talk kind of about prop bets and other stuff on Wednesday. I will try to do shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday just to get you kind of caught up. They won't be very long. They'll be kind of catch-ups on where the market is, maybe some players to think about, statistics to look at and consider for live betting. But the meat of what we're going to do here is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So look at the top of the table. Scotty Scheffler's now 4-1. That's so hard to bet 4-1 to win the Masters. I mean, those are Tiger-esque odds to win the Masters. And to be fair, he is so much better than everybody else. These are the right odds. These aren't even crappy odds. These are the right odds. Maybe 5-1. If you felt like you were stealing from a book, it was 6-1 right now. Because he is that much better than everybody else. He should win the tournament. But again, it's not how golf works, but that he should win the tournament. Rory McIlroy, who won the B flight at the Valero Texas Open, finished 3rd, 10-1. I think that's a trap, right? I mean, Rory's been close here a lot of times. I was there in 2011 when he had the heartbreak of the final round 80. I will forever remember the walk into the clubhouse and just the line of people on both sides with him and his girlfriend at the time. And just it was like a funeral. I still think that haunts him to a degree. But the good news is he didn't win the Valero Texas Open, because there have only been, in the modern era of the PGA Tour, two players who have won the week prior and then won the Masters. Sandy Lyle and Phil Mickelson in 2006. So if you won the week before, odds are not in your favor that you win. Sorry, Akshay, welcome to the field, but you're probably not winning. John Rahm is 11-1. Just had a good finish. I mean, he's had a great season so far on LIV Golf. I know that Nick Faldo made some comments about Rahm playing a schedule that is very relaxed golf, no high pressure golf. You know, not that he doesn't want to win on LIV, but that it's a different game, right? He finished tied for 4th at the LIV Golf event at Doral. Blue Monster's a hard golf course. So, I mean, in that sense, yeah, that's good. But the other courses he's played have not been particularly taxing. But he's so much better than most of the players on this tour. And he just is in every single tournament. So you have to consider him a threat. Whatever you think of LIV, you have to consider him a threat. He is playing good golf. That said, there have only been 3 players in the history of the Masters to go back-to-back. Nicklaus, 65-66. Faldo, 89-90 in playoffs. Tiger, 0-102. It doesn't happen. So if Rahm does it, he's one of the greatest Masters players ever. If he does it, that'd be impressive. And I'm not saying he can't, but history's not on his side. But 11-1, I think that's a fair market price for him. Then you start to get into your guys with issues, right? I mean, Rory has issues. Xander Schauffele has never won a major championship. His closest calls have come to the Masters and the U.S. Open, 16-1. I can't bet that. I'm not betting a guy who's never won a major and hardly ever wins at 16-1. When I could bet Brooks Koepka at 18-1, who should have won this tournament probably 2 or 3 times by now, including last year, is the reigning PGA champion and is one of the best major championship players of all time. By comparison, I would take that over Scottie Scheffler if you had to make one bet this week. Jordan Spieth is hitting it all over the map, but he's putting great. 20-1. He said at the Texas Open, he is, quote, hitting the piss out of it. Does that mean he's going to win a Masters? That's really hard for me to get behind, just because he's been so mediocre the last year, year and a half. But he does like this place, and he does play it very well. And his poor driving doesn't kill him as much here, because he has the shot making and the putting to salvage scores when he's not playing his best. Your 25s are interesting. Joaquin Niemann, Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama said to Japanese reporters that follow him around on the PGA Tour that he is in horrible form. He said that after finishing 7th at the Valero Texas Open. He said he doesn't even think he can win. I don't know what that means. He won Riviera. That's a great indicator of how you do in the Masters. He's won this tournament before. I think 25-1 is maybe a little short. I'd like him at 30 or 35. If you can find that, take it. But I do like his chances here, whatever he downplays about himself. Joaquin Niemann is 25-1. He is maybe peaking at the wrong time. He got to a great start on LIV, won a couple of events, won the Australian Open. He finished tied for 9th at the LIV event this past weekend at Doral. That's not bad. I mean, he's getting priced a little bit too low here, especially because he's never won a major. I'd like him more, again, 30, 35, kind of like Hideki, but that's where he is. Ludvig Åberg, 30-1, along with Wyndham Clark. Ludvig you need Masters experience, really. You need Masters experience to win this tournament. And that doesn't, neither of these guys really have it, but they're phenomenal players and they could win. I would not bet them pre-tournament because of the history being against them. But I do like that those guys. I mean, Wyndham has played great. I think he may have peaked too early because, and maybe Scheffler did too, but to have those back-to-back seconds to Scheffler at Bay Hill and then the Players, and then he went and played Houston Open, which was kind of random, maybe to satisfy some kind of requirement that I don't know about. But that 30-1 feels a little short. Same for Ludwig, just given the lack of experience. Victor Hovland's 35-1. He's played this golf course well, but he is a mess right now. And I can't bet him at that number. Patrick Cantlay, 35-1. That, you know, a guy does, he's had good calls here, close calls here. I think that's worth a consideration. If you look at the other guys who are 35, Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Bryson DeChambeau, Will Zalatoris, those are your 35s. Justin Thomas and Bones just broke up. He's got a new caddy this week, Matt Minster. I don't think you find that in a few days. Then you've got Cam Smith, who had food poisoning and had to withdraw from the live event last week. You assume he would be better, but he hasn't been playing very good this year. Bryson is playing well, but he has no good track record here. Ever since he made that par 67 comment, it's not been good at Augusta National. He is a different golfer than that guy then, who put on a lot of weight to try to just overpower golf courses. He's still got a tremendous amount of power. Man, he's fast. And I think he's a better golfer now than he was then, when he won the U.S. Open. So, you know, we'll table him, I think. Again, maybe a live betting prospect. If you could get him at like 45, I'd really like him a lot more. But I think he's a reasonable guy to bet. Will Zalatoris' putting has turned back into a pumpkin. I'm out on him. I know he's got a good track record here. I know he likes the golf course. I know he's played it well. But I just don't trust that putting. Tony Finau's 40-1, kind of interesting. Matt Fitzpatrick, 40-1, kind of interesting. Dustin Johnson at 40-1 does interest me a little bit. He has already won on LIV this year. He won their season opener. He did not play well at Doral, T24. He's had a good season overall. He's won here previously. He won in November, that November 2020 Masters. And he has seemed to have recommitted himself to good golf, to playing competitive, interesting golf. I don't think I would bet him, but yeah, I'm going to say no, but I think there are reasons to believe. Colin Morikawa, I'm out. He has lost strokes on the approach in three consecutive tournaments for the first time in his career. Something's not right. Pass. Tommy Fleetwood never wins in America. He's already won this year in Dubai. He played very, very well at the Valero Texas Open. Really hard for me to like him a whole lot. I do like Sahith Theegala at 45-1, though. Again, relative inexperience at this course is a problem, but he has so much imagination, such great tee to green game. He's got a great short game. He could see all the shots and hit all the shots. He's the kind of guy who can win here. Tyrrell Hatton at 50-1, likes the golf course, is playing well on LIV. I would like him a little deeper, but I can like him at 50-1, along with Shane Lowry. I really like Shane Lowry at 50-1. He's been playing well lately. In terms of stroke, your kind of bona fides of strokes gained, he is in that company. He is playing well, strokes gained tee to green. I think he's worth a bet of 50-1. Russell Henley, 55, pass. Max Homa, 55, maybe, but probably pass. Sam Burns, 60, pass. Brian Harman and Patrick Reed are kind of interesting guys. Min Woo's interesting. Jason Day's interesting. These are all guys who are playing pretty well or have been playing pretty well. Patrick Reed's been playing well. Min Woo is a guy who could overpower this golf course. Jason Day's odds just went down to 70, so you may want to be interested in him there. Probably not. But Siwoo Kim is the guy you really want, and he has gone from 90 to 70. Get on that quickly. Otherwise, the opportunity is passed. I think the other guys are worth a skip. I like Brian Harman. Now Siwoo's 60. I mean, you got to get in there now. I may even pause this and bet on him now because it's getting... That's a very popular pick, and I've told too many people to bet him. So it's too late, but get in there anyway if you want to do that and find a book where you can shop around for it. Adam Scott's 90. Sungjae Im's 90. Not, Sungjae Im's kind of interested at 90. He likes the golf course, plays it pretty well, has had a good run here. He's not playing his best golf, though. Danny McCarthy, 100-1. Kind of sprays it a little bit too much with his driver. I think he needs a little bit more experience here. Sergio let one get away at Liv Doral. Should have won the tournament. Dean Burmester did instead. He is playing good golf, though. He's played very well this year and is a former champion. Ricky Fowler, 120. Nope. Chris Kirk, 130, along with Tom Kim, Tiger Woods, Justin Rose. Justin Rose maybe plays the golf course well. Harris English, 130 as well. I'll probably skip him. Skip Tiger. You can like Tiger to make the cut or miss the cut. Either way, you could probably get that at a decent price for him to make the cut. Steven Yeager, 150, along with Ben On. Ben On's interesting. Great tee to green game. Adrian Ronk would be an interesting top 10 play. I know we're going to do derivative plays another day of the week, but at 180-1 is interesting to me as a top 10 play. Nick Taylor, 181, same thing. I really like him as a super outside shot, and I like him in a top 10 bet. Torbjørn Olsen, great ball striker, 200-1, not to win, but I do like him on a top 10 bet. Sepp Straka, Phil Mickelson, Kurt Kitayama, JT Post, and all those guys are like 200-1. I don't, you know, maybe you want to bet EVR, Erik van Rooyen, at 250-1. He is an interesting play. Great ball striking this year. Not the best putter, but if he could string it together, South Africans have a good record in this tournament. So it might be worth a look there. I don't think I'd go really beyond that. Now you're getting into kind of crazy territory. You know, you can get into your Jasper Stubbs and Neil Shipley's and Mike Weir's and Vijay Singh's. The guys are 5,000-1. Please don't even entertain those. I think your longest shot possible is probably Erik van Rooyen. Someone asked me about Ryan Fox, and I really do like his game, but I just don't think he's playing his best golf right now. So I will avoid that. So that's kind of the whole thing. I mean, that's the whole run of the outright winner market. I think you got to kind of pare it down to five guys. Like I said, I would bet Siwoo Kim. The market has moved pretty quickly on him. Told too many people to bet him. Sorry about that. And I'm sure other people have kind of picked up on that the odds don't match where he is as a player. But that's okay. We'll talk about this tomorrow in terms of the context of the model, but I cannot urge you strongly enough to act on some of your hunches now. This is the highest bet golf market of the year. It's already been bet a ton. It will be bet a lot more in the next couple of days. And if you see any value in the market, and I will particularly highlight Shane Lowry and Siwoo Kim and maybe Tyrrell Hatton, certainly Sahith Theegala, 45, 50, now 60-1 for Siwoo. Get your money in there now. Those would be the kind of guys I would bet pre-tournament and then maybe go after like a Scheffler for a small position to cover your hedge, you know, cover your bets for the week. And then wait, pause, you know. Get your long shots now. Get your guys that are a lot of people. There's going to be steam on. Siwoo could be 50-1 by the time he tees off. 40-1. I mean, the money could come in on him pretty hard. So please be careful about that. We'll talk tomorrow about the model. Talk about derivative bets on Wednesday. Then we'll start live betting a little bit Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a great Masters week. Thanks so much for spending time with me. Hope your bets are very profitable throughout the course of the week. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. Any questions about that, get a hold of me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I am on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. And Golf News Net is on all of those services at the handle Golf News Net. Thanks for listening. We will catch you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tapes, high-performance acrylic adhesive, sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.